The following podcast features topics discussed by geeks or under the supervision of nerds. Accordingly, Geek Life and its producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any of the topics or bad impressions performed on this show.
Did you miss the robot voice?
I missed the robot voice.
Yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Major League Baseball, sort of.
Hey, Don, who's your host today?
Take over, Justin. I'm in the bag. Can you tell I watched Major League this week? No, not at all.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, Roger Dorn. he got hit by the most pitches in the league. Oh, man. I swear, like, there's an entire episode of content on just how much we talked about Major League.
It is such a great movie.
It is. It's an unpolished golden nugget of late 80s, early 90s cinema.
I mean, well, dude, you got to look at the cast, first of all. You had people in there that nobody knew would be as big as they are.
Corbin Burnson.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
Harley Sheen.
Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah.
Tom Berenger. Whoever played the guy that was there with the owner. I think he did some stuff. I don't know.
Renee Russo.
Yep. Yeah, she was Renee Russo was in that one?
Wasn't that Renee Russo? Yeah.
No, you're thinking of Bull Durham. Because the owner was not Renee Russo.
No, not the owner.
Tom Berenger's wife / girlfriend?
Yeah.
Was that her? Because I feel like she played that exact same role then in Bull Durham.
Yeah, no, that was... No, in Bull Durham wasn't that... That was Susan Sarandon.
Oh, I always confuse them.
Yeah, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute. No, Bull Durham was Susan Sarandon. No, Renee Russo was...
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, you got me. Yeah,
you're a Lethal Weapon fan. You should know Renee.
Lethal Weapon 2 is an uncut gem itself. So, you know. Those movies are just fun, you know, and when I was listening to our friends in the Movie Marquee and their podcast, and they were talking about how every Lethal Weapon has to have one thing, a helicopter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must have been a Richard Donner thing. It's like, get us a helicopter and a helicopter, and it's going to come in. It's going to blow up his trailer, and then he's going to live by going under it. But there's a helicopter.
You know what? I don't care what they did. All those movies are fantastic, and I love them all.
I mean, some are better than others, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, naturally, just like every movie, you can't have every movie on the same par.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, name me a series of movies that you're like, they're all the same.
Wayne's World.
Okay.
That's the only one.
But there was only two of them.
So far.
I don't know, dude, if they come out with a third one, the way movies are these days, I would go in with low hopes.
I liked Bill and Ted, so I don't know if you finally saw that, but I liked it.
I didn't.
It's better than the sequel, dude.
It's not better than the first one.
No, but come on. What's ever going to catch that energy again?
You know, I'm just saying, what series of movies can you say that all the movies in the world, you know, and all their prequels, and all that stuff, can you say they're all the same?
I don't know that you can. I mean, because like...
Exactly.
What's the longest string of sequels? Is it James Bond?
Probably James Bond, followed by Star Wars. Actually, no. I should take
Harry Potter.
There should be Saw, Halloween.
Yeah.
Chucky, Child's Play.
Yeah, I mean, there's at least seven Chuckies in a series, so and I call them Chucky's, but it's like Child's Play 1 through 3, and then it gets into the other one. So
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, there's a lot of those too. Like, yeah, Jason made it up to 10 or 11, right?
So horror movies, definitely. If we're talking non-horror movies, it's probably James Bond, number one, Star Wars, number two.
And you know what? That's a weird thing, too, because it's like, when I think about, like we talked about, like, Halloween and all that, maybe a couple years ago and stuff like that, and Michael Myers and such, but I wasn't, like, a huge, huge fan. Then I started watching them all, right? And I really liked Halloween 2, yeah. Right? And so it was like, you know, the first one was kind of low budget. Then you get to the second one, it's a little bit more high budget. I'm like, oh, shit, this is actually pretty good movie, you know. And then Halloween, like the 2018 Halloween came out, that movie was fucking awesome, dude. Like, yeah, that was a good movie, and I would put that above just about all of them, you know, with the exception of, like, I liked Halloween 2 better than Halloween 1, and in Halloween the original, I'd put, like, in Halloween 2018, those were just good. So you can't really do that with much.
No, and I guess, like, Halloween, and I guess the good thing is like horror monster movies, sci-fi movies, the ones that they are kind of remaking and bringing back out, those ones are actually becoming better.
Well, better is subjective, because it's like, if you look at Terminator 1 versus Terminator Dark Fate, yeah, there's better special effects.
Yeah,
but okay, I didn't hate the movie, and I'm not going to say that I hated it, but it doesn't have, like, soul, you know.
That's because the Terminator movies, the storyline, I think, is just, it could be killed off. It could start a new one.
Oh, dude, I was, like, so into that in the 90s. I was playing the game, and, you know, in like the arcade, and I was, like, so into that shit.
When Terminator 2 came out, what kid wasn't into that shit?
Yeah, really. I mean, it was like, I'm like, this is my thing. I'm like, yeah. I'm planting my flag right fucking here.
But I'm just talking like Prey. That was a great addition to the Predator movies. Like, I would put it at number two behind the original.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, and why are people giving that movie shit? I don't get it.
Like, those aren't true. Because you get people who aren't true fans of, like, the series, and they just crap on it because they want to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I get, like, I'm all for people shitting on movies. Go ahead, you know, but I mean, we do it all the time, you know, but
I showed my fiance Prey, and she actually said she likes it better than the original.
Yeah. Which, I mean, makes sense, you know, and to me, it's not about like feminism or something like that. I'm like, it's a friggin' story, dude.
No, see, the thing that I like about Prey is you have a strong female character, but it's not shoved in your face as a strong female character. You're not. No,
she was working. You see her, like, throwing the axe and shit, and, like, practicing and putting it on a rope and all that, like, being innovative and being smart. You see her doing stuff.
And that's what I liked about it was, yeah, you can have a strong female character. You don't need to dumb the dialogue and the storyline down to say, oh, look, she's smart. It kept going. It showed as the movie progressed, you're like, oh, damn, she's good.
You're calling out Wonder Woman 84 right there with that one, you know. That one's just
theme and garbage.
And it's so funny too, because I know you're always the guy to defend Gal Gadot, and I'm like, I have to give it to Gal Gadot. There's very little that she did wrong in that movie, if anything. You know, she did everything as she was supposed to, and I'm like, the woman delivered, you know.
Did what she was supposed to, but that movie's just a hot pile.
She didn't know that she would be lassoing lightning. She didn't know that she would, you know, have to. Well, maybe she knew about the stupid doll in Egypt or whatever. But, like, everything, you know, that role. Shit.
Yeah, but in a certain part, you can't really. Sometimes you can blame actors. Sometimes you can't.
Can you blame Halle Berry for Catwoman?
I think that's just a group effort for that.
Yeah, it's Sharon Stone, you know.
Yeah, there's a group effort in that shit bomb. But, like, Gal Gadot, like, her performance in Wonder Woman wasn't bad. The director and the CGI was fucking awful.
Yeah. So, have you got a chance to see She-Hulk?
I did not watch She-Hulk yet.
Oh, you haven't watched it? Okay. Yeah, I was interested to hear what your thoughts were on how the CGI looks now versus the trailer. And the Hulk is in it too, so it's you get to see that, and I'm like, yeah, you know.
I don't know if I'm gonna watch it, to be honest. It just doesn't spark my interest.
I love the character, so I'm all over this shit, all over it. Which, yeah. And I totally get it too, because it's like, I don't think everybody has to watch literally everything of these, because yeah, I really liked Hawkeye, but some people are like, Hawkeye, what? I'm like, well, I like Street Level Heroes. So when for I me, that I was all about that.
Try, I didn't mind it. I thought I was kind of going in like, Hawkeye's like the shittiest character in the Marvel Universe, but I'll watch it. And I was like, okay,
it's like the fucking that? Aquaman.
It wasn't bad. Did I watch Ms. Marvel? No.
I don't know that that's going to be for you, though.
Yeah,
you
know? It seemed like it was for a younger audience. And
yeah, I loved it. I think she's one of the most endearing characters that they've made thus far. She's cool as hell, you know. And I'm here for it, as they say.
That's not to say one day when there's 3 inches of snow on the ground and I don't want to go outside, I won't turn it on.
Yeah, it's cool. She's kind of like a low-powered Green Lantern.
Yeah,
you know, and like she makes those constructs, but they're like purple. So, but the cool thing about that show is they went into like a lot of history of like Pakistan and India, and they intertwined that into the mythology of the show. Yeah. I'm like, that was actually really well done. And I think the cool thing about it is that they did something, they based it on a historical event to give it like gravitas and give it stakes and to say, yeah. Hey, my grandmother died here. And you're like, holy shit, really? You know, and it was kind of like, why can't the writers do this with other stuff and make it equally as important?
Yeah, because that would take thinking.
But I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like they saved the good writing for this show. You know,
they just want to reboot shit now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
You like, know? I'm not going to lie. You sent that trailer for Fletch. I watched it.
Can you fucking believe it?
It looks fucking horrible.
I'm like, is this the fucker from Tag? I'm like, did they just get like John Hamm's character from a different movie and make him like just spout out shit like Chevy Chase? Well,
the thing is John Hamm plays the same person in every movie.
Well, he seems less like a jerk here.
Yeah, I mean,
just kidding.
He plays his Mad Men character in everything, basically.
You know, I. He didn't really say much in what was that movie? Sucker Punch. He didn't say much, you know. He was just there to do the lobotomy or whatever. So yeah. I don't know.
The only thing I really, really have ever like been like John Hamm's great for this part was in 30 Rock when he plays Liz Lemon's dumb boyfriend, but he gets everything because he's good looking.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I like him in the Progressive commercial.
Yeah, you know.
I like and him in I don't know.
He was good. He was good in Bridesmaids too.
Was the jerk boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. You look tired. You want a little lap nap?
Just a little. Yeah.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I want you to leave.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I liked him in Tag, but I don't see a lot of stuff that he's in. Like it's not like we don't cross paths.
Yeah, no, he's not as big as he was at one point.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like now he's just famous because of what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, and not what he's doing, which is fine. You know, it's.
Well, he's there for the older ladies to be like, oh, he's so handsome.
He's going to end up on Lifetime movies now, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And be like, hey, who's this chiseled, handsome man?
Kurt Cameron's movies.
He said that he auditioned to be Lex Luthor. In the one that Jesse Eisenberg got it, they clearly went in a completely different direction. Kurt Cameron. So, I like that. So he's like, I'm going to talk to you about a little friend of mine. You know, he's kind of weird. You know, he had strange notions and magic powers. Are you talking about Superman? No, Jesus.
Nobody's above our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Superman. Not Batman, none of
them. Get him, Willie Ames. Oh man, that's a whole thing too. Kirk Cameron. Wow. Yeah, no. I guess he had auditioned to be Lex Luthor, and I'm like, wow, that would have probably been way better.
I don't know. John Hamm is Lex Luthor.
Luke Lather.
Luke Lather. Is Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that's a good Mel Gibson moment.
Yeah. I don't know if he would have been a good Lex Luthor.
As opposed to Jesse Eisenberg, dude.
I mean, Jesse Eisenberg sucked, but I think he did better than John Hamm.
I would have rather had Christopher Mintz Plotts from Kick-Ass playing Lex Luthor than Jesse Eisenberg.
Dude, they should have just got Terry Crews.
Oh, dude, that, I mean, Giancarlo Esposito plays him on the Harley Quinn show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's totally believable because you have him playing on The Boys and all that as basically the same character. So, but yeah, no, I mean, Terry Crews in that would be great. I still want to see Terry Crews playing He-Man, the next He-Man film.
Yeah, that would be great.
Be like, how come no one knows you're really Prince Adam? Because he's black. He-Man's black. He's always been black.
Every time something like that comes up, I think of like stuff out of like Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a good movie to get stuck into.
My name's a Jew. A Jew here?
You said something one time, like during a recording, and I just started fucking dying. I think it's like, did you say Abe Lincoln? And I just started dying.
Yeah. I say, hey, Blinken.
Where? You got some really nice boobs.
Yeah, the guy who played Blinken fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as far as like supporting cast members go, like he definitely got the best jokes of that movie.
I would say he had such great lines that he actually became the star of the movie.
My goldfish Goldie choked on by the cat.
I heard that coming a mile away.
What? Not if we fox him.
Fox him.
Yeah, that is such a good movie. That's still like top four for me. And I know a lot of people go back to like Young Frankenstein and stuff like that, but I just think that's not my era as much. So, well, see, I
have an affinity for all Mel Brooks movies. I love them all. But for me, I think Robin Hood Men in Tights would be my favorite. Now, I think one, because it's what introduced me to Mel Brooks. Because it came out when we were kids, so I watched it.
I don't know that I could rightly put another movie above Spaceballs or Blazing Saddles, like when it comes to his.
Yeah, I love Blazing Saddles. I love Spaceballs. But I think I got to, like I said, because I think Robin Hood Men in Tights was my introduction to Mel Brooks.
Which I totally understand. I mean, it's a strong three for me. I think that's number three past those two. But I mean, like Spaceballs is just like, it's so relevant. Oh.
Spaceballs is definitely number two.
It's amazing, you know, and not high on this list would be Dracula Dead and Loving It, because I've seen it. It does make me laugh, but it makes me laugh like probably
as much as The Producers.
No, I love The Producers, dude. That's my fourth. I've seen The Producers more than any other Mel Brooks movie.
Really?
So, oh yeah, yeah. Mr. Belvedere's in it, dude. Yeah. So he plays the director, yeah, like the cross-dressing director.
I like The Producers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Baby, baby, babies, a few are never senses. I don't think I've seen the Will Ferrell one though, like the one with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. I've never seen that one.
I've watched that one.
I probably should watch it because I don't know.
It's all right, but the original one's better.
I used to be a big kid that rented movies from the library, right?
Yeah.
So we would go and you know, dad be like, "Oh yeah, pick something out." I swear to God, I picked The Producers like almost every week. Like I was constantly watching The Producers. So, you know, I'd be like, "Oh, let's get this and I'll get The Producers too." So maybe it was Spaceballs or Blazing Saddles or History of the World Part 1, you know, and The Producers. And I watched the shit out of that VHS tape.
Yeah, see, that was me with Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah, yeah, and I get that. I have a feeling like Army of Darkness for you too.
Oh, Army of Darkness. I don't even know how many times I watched that as a kid.
Yeah, it's so good, you know.
I don't even know how many times.
Any of Raimi's things are really good. You know, I was having a chat with someone about the Spider-Man movies, and I'm like, I like them. You know, I love, like I said, I'm like, yeah, Spider-Man 2, it's got that heartbreaking scene on the bus and all that. I'm like, come on, dude.
See, the thing is everybody compares them to the new Marvel movies, and I'm like, they're not the new Marvel movies, because when those Spider-Mans came out, superhero movies were like not a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they had to make it up as they were going along. And everything came from friggin' Superman in 79.
Yeah. And all the new Marvel movies can thank all the Spider-Man movies for, you know, what they are. Now, did he do a great job with Doctor Strange? I think he did as good as he could with Doctor Strange, because
I think Doctor Strange is one of my favorite ones that's come out in the past couple years.
I'm saying Doctor Strange is kind of a shitty character, so I think he did as good as he could with them.
Did you? And you haven't seen the new Thor: Love and Thunder yet, right?
I haven't seen
okay,
that yet.
All right. So I won't bring it up, but when you get to see
September 8th, I'll let you know after I watch.
When you get to see that, we'll talk about that in comparison to Multiverse of Madness. Let me just say this. I still like Multiverse of Madness a lot. I think that new Spider-Man was probably better than it, but that's the only one that would be better than it. You know, Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi, far and away my favorite of the last however many years post-Endgame.
Yeah,
Shang-Chi blew them out of the fucking water.
My only downside to Doctor Strange, like, I liked Benedict Cumberbatch and all the other characters. I just didn't like Scarlet Witch. I wish they would have picked a different character for him to like have to fight.
I get it, because she's pretty much the boogeyman, and they've just souped her up so much in like the story and mythos and all that, where it's like they had no move but to make her the villain. Yeah. And we knew it would be coming, like after WandaVision and all that. So, you know. With the movie, it's just like, I still don't get how you can go the entire damn movie. They said the word Vision once, and he doesn't even show up in like a flashback, in a picture, nothing. All these universes of multiverse and all that, and there's nothing with Vision in it, seriously? I'm like, I just think that's such an utter misstep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, bring up your dead boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. I hear chicks like that. We all know the best part of that movie is Pizza Papa. So,
oh, absolutely.
Pizza Papa always gets paid.
I mean, I think they needed a Batman sequence where he's like, quit talking about your fucking dead parents. Get over it.
which reminds me, did you see Bruce Campbell just wrote a comic?
I did not.
Yeah, so he just wrote an issue of Sergeant Rock.
Okay. Right,
for DC Comics, and I think it's coming out this month. So, but that's pretty sick, because, you know, they put like New York Times best-selling author Bruce Campbell, and I'm like, yeah, I've got his books, If This Chin Could Kill and How to Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way.
Yeah, there wasn't there Confessions of a B-Movie Actor or something like that.
I think that's the third one. Yeah, so he's made three books that have all been like New York Times bestsellers.
Oh, yeah, I got the first one. Like I said, I found it autographed in a bookstore.
Nice. Yeah. I assume someone must have died, because why would you get rid of that?
I found it. It was at a Barnes & Noble in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And they had a bunch of copies. So I think he came through and signed it, but like not a lot of people must have showed up or something.
That's so weird.
Because it's a college town. But yeah, all the copies on the shelf are all autographed. Unless he just signed, he's like, hey, give me the box of them and I'll sign them.
No, you're probably right. He was probably there, you know. I remember the one signing that I kind of walked through, like I wasn't there for the express purpose of it, was when Ralph Nader came out with his book. And I just walked by the table and like, oh shit, I know you. You know, and he's like, how you doing? And I'm like, and I'm just like,
he's like, yeah. You want my book? You're like, nah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, in terms of like historical, you know, contributions for the country and all that, he's kind of a big deal. So yeah. It's like the dude was running for president shortly after that and all that. I'm like, this guy's kind of a big deal, you know, like OSHA and shit like that. And it's like, I'm like, oh, I just like walked by him and totally blew him off like he was nothing. I'm like, I'm going to go the other side and meet Mick Foley.
It's kind of like when I got stuck in traffic behind Al Gore just a couple months ago.
All right, then.
Yeah. No, I pulled up and I was like, that license plate's fucking weird. What is it? And I was like, wait,
why does it have a number two?
Like, no, seriously, it has like a weird badge on it and everything. And I was like, wait, I'm driving. I look in the window because he was driving really slow and he wouldn't get out of the way. So when I pass, I'm looking, I'm like, holy shit, that's Al Gore. And then I politely flipped him off and cut him off because he was driving like an asshole.
And he thought that was an inconvenient truth.
Yeah, and his Toyota Camry hybrid.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure it was a hybrid. Yeah,
it was. It was a Toyota Camry hybrid.
That is so random that you ran into former, you know, Vice President Al Gore driving a fucking Toyota. Yeah.
Which I was actually surprised. No security around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a robot, so.
Yeah, he was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, of all places, too.
I'm here to talk about global warming that's going to melt your cheese.
Hello, fellow cheeseheads. Did I ever tell you I invented cheese?
I invented the internet. We should thank him for his contribution to our podcast, you know, by inventing the internet. So.
And you want
to
know what else? Lockbox.
Lockbox. That fucking takes me back.
There'll be two keys to the lockbox.
Two words, lockbox. Oh my god.
Those were the absolute best SNL presidential skits like ever.
Daryl Hammond was underrated, man. I mean, like, they kept him going.
Daryl Hammond and Will Ferrell as Bush just fucking knocked it out of the park.
Mm.
People may not be a Will Ferrell fan, but dude, he did a great Bush.
So, speaking of that era, are you a fan of Chris Kattan? So I'm watching the movie Nope because it finally came out on streaming and I obtained it legally. Thank you for asking. Okay. So, watching it with the family and they start talking about like that era. It's like you got Anna Gasteyer and you've got like Chris Kattan and he's doing full chimp and all that. And I'm like, I'm picturing the shit in my head. I'm like, this was our fucking era, dude. You know, I'm probably like 18, 19 years old or something like that. SNL's on and they're talking. Yeah, probably maybe 16 because it was 97 is when they were talking about it. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, I can picture all this bullshit, you know? It's so crazy. It was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie, and I don't even like Chris Kattan.
So. Well, great segue into our discussion on Nope.
Yes!
This week, we shall discuss Nope on the podcast.
So I love when they do that thing in a movie where they say the name. And they did that in this one, like, completely. And I'm like, he's all like, nope.
So, right off the bat, what are your thoughts on Nope?
I liked it. It really made me uncomfortable. And I think that's the funny thing about, like, a movie when it affects you. And you don't really realize it. But I felt incredibly uncomfortable with, like, the chimp scenes and all that. And it's just, like, there was so much about it that made me, like, uneasy. And I'm like, that's hard to do, but like when a movie hits you like that on that level, I have to say that it's like, all right, it affected me.
Me, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I think it's worth
way better than Us, dude. Way better than
Us. It is way better than Us.
I thought Us was garbage.
Like, I don't even like Us. That's why I don't ever bring it up.
Yeah, I liked the neighbors or like the friends. That when they showed up at the house, like the white family that they were friends with that like ended up getting killed and all that. Like, I like them. And that is the only thing besides like Winston Duke that I liked about that movie.
Yeah. But yeah,
I thought
Well, even his new Candyman was like,
I fell asleep. You know, I tried to watch it like at least three times and I don't think I finished it.
The Star Wars Rogue One effect hit you.
Yeah. Dude, seriously. And it was one of those things I'm like, I should be scared. I should care about one of these characters. And besides like her brother, the flamboyantly gay brother, he's the only one that I found interesting.
Yeah.
Because they've got the guy that plays Black Manta. And I'm like, does he do anything other than stoic?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I don't care. You know?
Yeah, speaking of Rogue One, I have to laugh because they're making the second one. I'm like, I have yet to make it through the first one.
Yeah, that's a series. That's going to be like 8 episodes long.
Yeah, everyone's so excited for it.
Are they, though?
Dude, I have read comments. People are like, I love Rogue One. It's my favorite Star Wars movie. I'm like,
okay.
I have yet to make it through it.
Dude, there's different strokes for different folks, man. I've met people who said Phantom Menace is their favorite. If the bar is that low for some people, you'd have to imagine it's like, yeah, there are some people who probably says Battle for Endor is your favorite.
You know? I think it all.
And that's better than Phantom Menace.
Well, I think it's just like me with the Mel Brooks movies. Whatever you one you came in on is your favorite because it got you into it.
Yeah, so, I get that. I get
I guess if you're talking about Jordan Peele movies, if you watch Candyman first and you loved it, you'd probably rank that as first as best one. Me? No.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I mean what does he have? He's got Get Out,
Candyman, Us. And there's one other one I'm forgetting, isn't there?
He didn't do Antebellum, I don't think, right?
I believe he did. I don't know if he directed it. I think he helped.
I've been meaning to see that one because it looks friggin' scary, and I've been wanting to check it out. It's just I can't find it anywhere for free. So
he did Black Klansman?
Oh, really? I thought that was
Spike Lee.
Yeah, I did too. Actually, that's a good friggin' movie. Like I like that movie a lot.
Or maybe he's just in it. I don't know. Black Friday. Directed by Spike Lee, written by Charlie. Yeah, I don't know why it's because I'm looking at Google, but let me.
Yeah, maybe it just shows up in there or something, but I don't know.
But
I think he's a talented dude. Like when you have someone that is a good creator like that, he's going to hit those notes that give you that uncomfortable feeling. And there's a couple really good key scenes in Nope. Like,
Some great scenes in Nope.
I mean, there's some weird scenes too. They do some like good job of like tone setting and setting the mood and all that. And you got some crazy characters in there, like the photographer guy.
Like, oh, dude. The photographer guy is the fucking tits.
I'm going to get the impossible shot. I'm like, did they try to get Tom Waits and he was too old? Yeah, I'm like, you know, it was nuts. You know, and the Best Buy guy was pretty funny.
Do you really, why are you making fun of Michael Wincott, dude? He was in The Crow. An Alien.
He was the bad guy.
And Three Musketeers and Robin Hood.
Yeah, he was. He was Sir Guy of Gisborne. He's like, why a spoon, cousin? Why not a knife or a fork? Because it's dull, you twit. It'll hurt more, you know? Yeah, I remember Robin Hood Men in Tights. I mean, and Robin Hood Prince of Thieves. Well, we hit two Robin Hoods on this one.
I don't know. I guess we're robbing from the rich to give to the poor. Hey.
I guess to give you the value. That's what 121 episodes will get you, folks.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, Michael Wincott was. I mean, here's the thing. I will say this about Nope. Really, the cast was great. Kiki Palmer, I think, was just the weak point.
Yeah, I mean, I get because I get what you're saying because she does come across as being like a little flighty at times and like.
Well, I think the problem
you don't
is
get her motivations where she's like, "Oh, I'm out of here." Yeah, she's right there. I'm like, "Why didn't you leave?"
Well, like, no. See, I think for me, it was just Kiki Palmer was trying to play kind of like I'm a street smart hood, you know, from the streets.
And yeah, she was not that type of
character. No, and it just felt flat. Even my fiance, who is from the south side of Chicago, even look goes, this bitch is from Disney. She needs to calm down.
Yeah, she is. I think she played like the vice president or something like that, or something like Disney show. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I do like that scene because it's almost very Tarantino when, you know, she's talking about like the first ever, you know, motion picture was a black man on a horse. I'm like, that is a great scene. Yeah, it's very Tarantino, like that sort of thing. But
you know. I liked the opening scene with Keith David.
Yes. Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, it's great because it was right off the start. You're like, what the fuck is this? I liked how it opened. It was just like from the get-go, you're like, what the hell? But
yeah, it's I mean, Daniel Kaluuya though, it's like I it's weird because it's like I'm not gonna say I didn't like his performance. I get it. I get what he was going for and all that. I just wonder, it's like, do we have more to expect from him as an actor, or is that his Jack Nicholson? You know, where he's like, well, I'm just going to show up and be this guy every time. Because it's like the three or four things that I've seen, I'm like, that's kind of you, you know? And I get it, you know, it's, But I mean, is there any more? You know, because he's not really like charismatic.
Jordan Peele loves him because he's in every like Jordan Peele movie.
Is he in Candyman?
He's in Get Out and Nope and Us. And is he in Candyman?
I guess he's the guy.
I don't think he was in Candyman, but yeah, he's in Us, Get Out, and Nope.
Does a movie like Nope make you want to go back and check something else out, like Spiral again?
Nope.
No? Does it make you think like, oh, geez, that was kind of cool. Maybe I'm like unfairly judging this other movie or something. Like, do you ever have that when you watch movies?
There have been some movies that like I'll watch it the first time and I'm like, ugh, I didn't really care for it. Then I'll watch the second time and I'm like, okay, it's kind of growing on me. I mean, I've definitely had that with movies. And actually, one of them has become one of my favorite movies, and that's Battleship.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time I watched it, I was kind of like, this movie sucked. And then I watched it again. I'm like, okay, I like it. And then I watched it again. And I'm like, I love it. And then it just...
The chain of events and like the circumstances that happen in that movie are just, it's too good. Like, I can't help it. I'm like, of course they're playing the game because they can't use sonar and all that. I'm like, of course they're guessing B5, you know, and I'm like, I love this life. You know, it's like, and I mean, if that was the whole movie, that would be terrible. You know, it would be like an absolute caricature. And they'd be like, yeah, we did this on a game. If they didn't add in like Rihanna's in this and what's his name? Skarsgård's in this. And, you know, Taylor, what's his face from.
I can never pronounce his last name. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't either. And then Rihanna's in this. And then we got a whole bunch of veterans and one guy who doesn't even have legs and he's in this shit. And you're
I bet you Rihanna's in this.
Yeah. And you're, yes, you did. Yeah. And Rihanna's in this. So, you know, and then it's one of those things where it's just like they put all of this craziness together. It's not even a comedy. And it's like, this should be Airplane, but it's not, you know, it's Battleship.
Dude, I just,
yeah, I'm with you.
All I know is every movie needs that old guy goes, somebody going to kiss the donkey today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. every movie needs like a World War II era veterans to come on and work a old U-boat, you know, or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, they just need that guy to pop up in movies like the next Rocky movie that's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just needs to be in the crowd and like shout out, somebody gonna kiss the donkey today.
I think it's what? It's gonna be a Creed 3.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's gonna be some stupid bullshit where it's like, oh, I'm gonna go on to defend my belt and I'll defend my belt. Yay! I'm like, wow, I don't care.
He's you gonna know? Fight himself in the metaverse.
He's not Rocky Balboa, you know, and it's like that last movie was painful to watch with the exception of the parts with Draco, which was that, awesome.
I think the bad part is like Sylvester Stallone, he's trying to make Creed into Rocky. So he's making them all humble and everything.
I don't think he's writing these, dude.
I think in real life, like Creed would have been a cocky son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, he's his illegitimate son, so it's like that was the whole thing. But he was cocky in the first movie, the good one. Like, Creed 1 was amazing. Like, it was a really good movie.
Yeah. And I was happy that it got brought back. And then the second one came, and I was like,
I mean, that just absolutely crushed me. You know, like seeing that, and I'm like, wow. He didn't even do anything, and he had literally everything handed to him.
I remember we both walked in there like, oh, I love Creed. And then we both walked out like, what the hell did we just watch?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, and she's deaf and she can't hear her music. I'm like, oh, I guess that's sad. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, that storyline went nowhere.
I think it's funny, though, because they probably gave her more character development than they did with Adrian. So, you know.
They did, but when we left, we're like, where did her storyline go?
Yeah, really? They just dropped it on the ground.
Yeah, they're like, she's deaf. Okay.
Like she could still see, right? Oh, so we're good. I'm like, but if they do end up making, you know, Draco into a movie, I'd see that. Sure. I mean, Dolph Lundgren has done nothing but get better with age.
Now, do you think that Jordan Peele should make a Nope spinoff with the monkey?
Oh shit, I don't know, man. I don't think I'd watch that. That was a lot for me. You know, that was like, I didn't know that that was one of my limits, and holy shit. Like, yeah, there's some primal fear going on about that shit. So
was it the monkey killing or the monkey being killed?
No, the monkey killing. Like, I didn't care if they killed the monkey, but it was the monkey killing people and like ripping their lips off and stuff like that. Like, that is apparently where my limits are. So I was not interested in that. I've seen it, so now I can check it off the list. But
you have a fear of monkeys.
I think we all should. So I mean, my fear of clowns is documented, but you know, if I have to put something else up there, I definitely have an unease around apes. So we'll say that.
They should have had Charlton Heston pop up in that movie and see Jack.
I'm dead. 38. We've got a hologram. They spent all their money on holograms of Charlton Heston.
Goddamn dirty apes.
What is it about Cherry Street? Can we get a better actor?
I once knew a girl who grew up on Cherry
Street. I love that. Oh, man. And that ties back to Terminator. Have you seen this boy?
But yeah, nope for me. I liked some of the things. Like, I liked Steven Yeun's character.
Yeah.
I thought he really
was twisted, man. Like, that whole room that he had, like, with the shoe and like, all the stuff. I'm like, this kid is a little twisted.
And he's out to do anything to make a dollar.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, because it's like, they're teaching you, like, a Godzilla movie a little bit. Because you're thinking, you're like, oh, shit, it's going to be aliens or something like that. But it's not exactly what you're thinking. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, they did a good job of establishing a lot in this film. You know, like, it nothing was really like cookie cutter. And I would probably agree with you with the is it Kiki Palmer is her name?
Yeah.
If she's the weak link, I could see that. You know, I didn't mind her, but I get that she was kind of inconsistent throughout the film. You know, I get that. But you know, she's not a movie actress, really. She hasn't been yet.
No, but I'm just saying, as far as the cast, like, I liked the guy who played the, like, Best Buy guy.
Yeah, Angel.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah,
he did a good job.
You know, I liked pretty much everybody, like I said. For me, the downside to the movie was the ending.
Oh, you didn't care for the ending?
I didn't care for the final part of the ending. Like, there were some parts that I'm like, oh, okay, I like it. And then there were some parts where I'm like, yeah. Like, you know, this thing grows and becomes huge and nobody else sees it.
Well, use your Marvel Universe logic. There's a giant robot, you know, corpse in the ocean and nobody sees it. So, you know.
Other thing, yeah.
So, you know, you got to suspend disbelief a little bit. I liked when it just like inexplicably blew up. I thought that was fucking hilarious. You know, I think there's some definitely like some comedic parts in there, like the guy with like the Daft Punk helmet that is driving and he's on an electric motorcycle and then he hits the dead zone and he just goes flying. I laugh my ass off.
Yeah, no, there's like definitely cool parts. But like I said, there's some that I'm like. Like when the dude wraps himself in the barbed wire.
I thought he was going to get torn apart.
Exactly. I'm like, his barbed wire, like he'd be fucking hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought that, you know, I didn't quite understand like when the stuff was like raining on the house. I didn't get it. I'm like, I think like that scene and all that, I probably could have even done without because it didn't really do anything. I'm like, then what we get like.
There to show you that it's smart and it knows about them.
Yeah, I got that from all the stuff that Kaluuya was doing. You know, Otis Jr., OJ. Mm-hmm. You know, like when he was running and hiding and like not looking and all that. I'm like, I understood. I understood from that. I just didn't need the scene. You know, they could have saved some money.
Yeah,
but you know, on the other hand, too, that did explain like how the nickel went into his dad's eye.
Yeah. Like, I liked the concept of, like, it hiding and things like that. I mean, should we just spoil? I mean, we spoiled most of it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's an experience to watch. So, it's, you know.
Like, I like the idea of, like, the cloud. Like, it hiding in the cloud all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that part when he's like, that cloud hasn't moved all day.
Isn't it funny, too, on how, like, certain people pick that up? You know, like the alien, the ancient aliens conspiracy theorist Best Buy guy sees that right away. OJ sees that right away. And the guy that is there doing the camera stuff sees that right away. And you're like, okay, I mean, this shit must be easy to spot. So.
Yeah, but like I said, Nope's a worth a watch. It's not the worst.
I think so. Do you think it's a C movie? Do you think it's a D movie? Like, what's your rating like for this one?
I'll give it a C minus.
A C minus. I'm gonna go with a C plus because it did, like, it elicited some sort of reaction in me. I thought the story was fresh. I think that the acting was a little stale at parts. Like, I absolutely agree with you. And I think there's some stuff that could either be changed or cut from the movie. And it doesn't make it to, like, that next tier. But, you know, like, C plus, B minus, I could give it because I enjoyed it.
Total C plus movie, like I said, it's worth a watch at least once. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd watch it again, you know, because quite specifically the chimp stuff, I don't think I'd want to watch that again.
Honestly, I think that's like a Jordan Peele thing. All of his movies are good for a watch, multiple watches. Not really.
Dude, his Twilight Zone was killer. The
Twilight Zones were great.
Yeah, like all that stuff was awesome. Even the ones that were like weirdly racial, you know, where it's like, oh yeah, it's like clearly that's what he's going for. It's like, I'm like, I thought they were all like really good.
Yeah, no, his Twilight Zones are probably his best.
Yeah, I mean, he can straddle that line better than some of the other guys. But I definitely see he's got potential for making some really scary shit.
Yeah, like, I get what he does sometimes. He's trying to make major studio horror movies, which is hard because major studios don't like horror movies.
Yeah.
So I get what he's trying to do.
I mean, you know, it's funny too, because he's got his own production and he's like opposite like Blumhouse.
Yeah.
Right. And Blumhouse is pretty much, they've got, I mean, besides like Lionsgate, they've got their finger on the pulse right now when it comes to horror.
Every horror movie is a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah. Like at least the ones that are making money.
Yeah.
You know, or the ones that are getting some critical acclaim or anything, but you know, because I mean, the other stuff is like we've run out of saws at this point.
Yeah.
So what else is? I think we're done with the Conjuring universe for now. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be another one.
It's been what, a year since the last one came out?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll come out with another one. But I mean, Halloween's supposedly coming to an end this year.
I'm gonna see that shit. 100%. I'm gonna see that.
I'm definitely gonna sign up for Peacock that weekend.
I apparently still have it. So I'm like, oh, I'm still paying $4.99 for this shit. So
yeah, so I'll definitely sign back up for Peacock. And
yeah, I realized like I've mainly been watching Hulu, which is a big shift.
Me too. Like I don't even turn on Netflix anymore. I watch everything on Hulu.
Netflix has stuff that I like on it, and it has Sandman. And I know that's not your thing, and that's probably never going to be your thing, which is totally fine. But I, like I said, with Netflix, that's one of the reasons that I keep those guys.
Well, I keep Netflix, but I watch more Hulu lately than Netflix.
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, me too. Like with the FX shows, when we get into my Week in Geek, I'll tell you what I've been watching. But yeah, all on Hulu, man. You know,
let's hop in. Let's
hop in, buddy.
So, the water's just right.
Waters are just right. So speaking of just,
Hello, my
Week in Geek.
Why don't you come on in? The water's just right.
It's just fine. I started watching the American Western known as Justified.
Okay.
So I'm on season one going through with Justified. And it's going to sound a little weird. It's a little disappointing because he's not the guy that I want to see.
See, I think you're going through the same thing I went through. I watched Deadwood first,
yeah.
And then I watched Justified, and I'm like, this isn't Deadwood.
it still amazes me that, like, He has the straightest posture of any actor I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The man, it's like you'd swear that like there was a board in the back of his spine or something like that, the way that he walks so completely straight into a fucking room and all that. But he's still a badass, and he's like, if I draw, I'm going to put a hole in you. You know, and you're like, dude, I believe him.
Yeah. Dude, fucking, I love him as an actor. I think it's just disappointing because you're wanting that like Western, but it's more like a modern show, you know?
Yep.
It's almost like a Walker Texas Ranger type thing.
It really reminds me of that a lot. And that's what I don't like about it, because it's it's very formula driven. And I'm like, was this on the USA Network?
No, you know, not FX, I believe. Yeah,
I know, but it seems like a USA show, you know? And I'm not saying I hate it. And I'm obviously going to keep watching it. But it's just not what I wanted.
No.
It's like such a letdown. And I'm like, ah. Oh.
He needs to go back to doing a Western again. If I can get him and Kurt Russell into a Western together, holy shit.
Bone Tomahawk Part 2.
Dude, fucking best movie would or Deadwood fucking something another.
Shit, could they do another Deadwood?
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, like.
Continue it.
I would not hate that at all. You know,
Kurt Russell in to run the whorehouse.
I think if they did it, they should do it after everybody's already moved on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, here we are. And this is like the was it a daughter or son that Star and Trixie had? Son, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, now there's him and he's running it and they're getting to the point where they're outlawing whorehouses or something like that. And it's like, oh, okay, you know. Yeah. That movie was crazy though, because it's like fucking Major Dad is the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, I don't know. It like the movie was such a disappointment, and it was like,
it was.
It's not that I didn't like it, and it's not that I wasn't happy to see the characters again and all that, because I really was. It's just I don't like what happened. And that's what was so disappointing.
I was disappointed with the movie because it wasn't as good as the show. I think, too, I just didn't want it to end because I'm like, I know this is the end of Deadwood and I love the show and I wanted them to just make it a series.
When they had, like, Ian McShane's character and it's like, it literally blacks out Soprano style on, like, oh, did he die? Did he not? We're assuming he died, you know, and like, you know, symbolically the whole show dies with him because you can't do it without him. He's like, he's the character where it's like, as soon as you meet him, you realize that nobody else on the show is going to be the main character or as charismatic or important as him.
Well, he runs the town.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even when you have like Timothy Olyphant and all that, like, it's like, okay, whatever shit he's got going on or anybody else's character, it's like, yeah, let's just get back to Ian McShane. You know, it's like,
that's what I said. Maybe they could have Kurt Russell show up to town and run the whorehouse.
Well, they already had Wyatt Earp and his brother on there. So, you know,
he doesn't have to be Wyatt Earp,
but he could be.
he could just show up and be
I walked through here in '07.
He's like, you're just going to stand there and watch you bleed.
Oh my god. Yeah, but
him and Val Kilmer show up and run the whorehouse.
I'm running the whorehouse.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I got one gun for the each of yous.
You're a daisy if you do.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That one right there. I got the tuberculosis. Fuck yeah. So Justified in you know, I've been putting off watching it, and I'm like, all right.
How did you feel about Walter Goggins as a Nazi?
It's so funny because it's like, you can't hate him. He's not a likable character. Like, he's a scumbag through and through, but you're like, damn, I'm going to watch him play the shit out of this role. You've seen him in Righteous Gemstones. You've seen him in Vice Principals. You've seen him in House of a Thousand Corpses, that terrible Tomb Raider up, you know, stuff. And it's like Bad Santa. Yeah. You know, like all these movies. And you're like, he's still fucking awesome to watch. He was in Major League 3 as Downtown Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, going
I
back
still
to
like him as the hitman in that Mel Gibson Santa movie. That was fucking nice.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You what was that? The Fat Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, Mel Gibson's got a lot of movies coming out lately. I guess they were just sitting on him for a while.
He's doing the Bruce Willis, dude, the direct to DVD style shit.
And you know what? More power to him. You know, but I mean, look at Bruce Willis. Like he's not going to be hurting for money.
You know? No. He's put out a million movies, him and Nick Cage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't mind watching any of these, you know, lower budget Nick Cage movies. It's fucking Nick Cage, dude.
I don't know. I tried to watch one of his lower budget ones the other day, and I was like, this is so stupid.
Which one was it? Was it Grand Isle? Was it Kill Chain? Joe?
It's the one where he's part of the Humanitarian Bureau.
Oh, that movie sucks ass. Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, the Humanity Bureau or some shit. Yeah. And here's a funny thing. Generally, he's not the bad part. You know, it's like they'll just go and they'll do something and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm here for the Humanity Bureau. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I was laughing because I'm like, okay, here we are in the future. And he's driving like a 1980 El Camino.
I really feel my character would drive this El Camino.
Yeah, I feel like a government agent would totally drive a 1980 El Camino with a big brush guard that says humanitarian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's got a weird Elvis fetish. What?
Yeah, I was like, no, no.
Yeah, like, sorry, Nick. You know, not gonna happen. You
know? Yeah, I think I got like 25 minutes into the movie and I'm like, I can't even finish it.
Yeah, no, there's other ones that are like way better. Like even the one where he was like the drug dealer would like trade something was good, like better than that. But I mean, like watch Pig, because Pig may be like, if it's not my favorite, it's in the top three.
I watched part of Pig and it wasn't bad. I just got tired.
Yeah,
I watched that one where he was where he had the hotel.
Yeah. That's Grand Isle, I think.
Yeah, where he had to like save the girl or whatever.
I saw that. I saw Kill Chain. I mean, Mandy, The Color Out of Space. Like some of these movies are pretty freaking good.
I watched The Guy Who Lost His Dinosaur Bone.
Yeah, I watched that one too. It's called Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. That was awesome.
Amazing. I love
that is up there with like top five movies of the year. That's up there, you know. Definitely better than Multiverse, definitely better than anything else I've seen like in the theaters in a long time.
Dude, that movie was so great just for the simple fact Nick Cage had no problem making fun of himself and doing such a good job of it.
He played Nicky.
Dude, I mean, nothing beats the scene with it's like, that thing's grotesque. I'll give you $25,000.
Yeah, that's great. That is a great part. No, I never said her. Paddington 2.
Paddington 2 is the best movie ever made.
It's like, I can't believe this is that good.
I watched The Paddington. It is the best movie ever made.
So I was trying to think of the other stuff that I did. The Ninja Turtles game collection, the Cowabunga collection, came out yesterday. So I picked that up. It has like 14 different games of it. All the Nintendo, all the Super Nintendo, the arcade games, the Game Boy games, right? Like all of them. So yeah. Like they have like two different versions of like some of these games on there, and it's the same game. Like the Sega Genesis Hyperstone Heist is on there. I was actually just playing that before we recorded. It's amazing. And then there's like extras on it where you can go and like, oh, we'll check out the comic books. You can look at all the covers of the comic books from issue 1 through 64. Or and then you look at the Turtles Adventure comic books 1 through 72 or 1 through 100 on it. I'm like, holy shit, this is deep. It has all the movie posters. It has like previews for all of the animated series from 87, 2003, 2012, and then the 2016 cartoon. I'm like, this is action packed for $40. It's
I mean, I awesome. Saw the previous stuff. I was thinking about picking it up.
I mostly play that Nintendo game, you know, like the one where you have to swim in the dam.
Yeah.
Played that game more than probably any other video game ever. So yeah,
it made me want to buy a Nintendo Switch again.
Yeah. I picked it up on PlayStation, but I probably will get it on both. You know,
But yeah, no,
yeah,
no.
That's my week, man. So besides watching Nope, you know, catching up on Sandman, She-Hulk, watching the Game of Thrones House of the Dragon, which is excellent. You know, like in two episodes, they've done better than the last three episodes of that last season of Game of Thrones.
That wasn't hard. That last season sucked.
Well, the last season it was okay, like starting out, but like the last three episodes are just not great. You know, and you're just like, you know, and what do you do after it's like you've killed the bad guy, you know, and there's still three episodes left to go? I'm like, what are you gonna do? Give us a fucking epilogue episode? Thanks. You know, but this has been great. Like, it's an awesome series, and it's so cool to be back in that shit. So
nice. Yeah, I canceled HBO, so I'll have to catch it up later.
You're literally not missing anything besides Game of Thrones.
I was looking at what was coming out, and I went, I don't want to pay for it.
There's nothing, dude. I mean, it's like, with the exception of, like, I've watched a couple documentaries, and I've watched some things where it's like, oh, okay, I was pretty heavy on HBO Max for a while, like just because of all the DC content they have, but they don't have shit for movies. I don't think they have the full series for everything. It's like there's like select seasons and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not a real great value anymore.
They were doing great. They had a lot of shit come out, and then the whole merger with what is it, WB and all that crap.
Discovery Plus. Discovery and. Which we have anyway too. Like, we have Discovery Plus anyway.
Yeah, because, I have Discovery Plus too, but it's just
because we're adults and we're in relationships. So sometimes you watch House Hunters, whatever.
Yeah, we're a 90-day fiance.
I've never seen that, but I imagine like watching a fucking cooking show, like I do. So you know,
I like watching 90-day fiance because it's just stupid, mindless humor.
Well, yeah, you know, I like watching House Hunters, but I've heard that they actually purchased the house before, you know, so it's all staged.
It is staged. The fiance, she knew someone that was doing the House Hunters in Chicago, and she.
Oh, that's right. I heard it from you. Duh.
She said it was all staged.
That sucks.
Which I'm like, makes sense.
I guess, you know. I don't know. We're on this new TV one.
Show isn't staged.
There's this new one on Netflix we're watching where it's like they do it in a day. So they'll get someone from like the family involved, and then they'll get them out of the house for like 12 hours, and then they'll do like a full remodel of like the yard and shit like that. And it's like, it's like adult TV porn, you know. You're like, how are they gonna do this in a deadline? And the host is the girl, you know, the black girl from Peacemaker.
Oh, okay.
She's the host. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, all right, well. You know, I'll watch 13 episodes of this.
Yeah, I'm not in the house stuff right now. I've been diving into the sports documentaries.
Yeah. So, what'd you do in your Week in Geek? That's mostly mine.
So for my Week in Geek, I got into the Netflix series Untold, with all the sports stuff. So you had like Manti Te'o.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You had another one about the guy, they called him the Sandman, and what he did was he killed racehorses and shit for rich people. And there was another one about the referee that supposedly shaved points in the NBA.
Oh, that guy, Tim something?
Yeah, Tom Donahue.
Tom, yeah.
Donahue, yeah. But actually, when you watch that documentary, you're like, if what he says is true, he really wasn't point shaving. He was just kind of following what the NBA put in place, because what he's basically saying is, like, the superstars could do whatever they wanted, and they weren't allowed to call fouls on them.
Oh, yeah?
Because, yeah, there was one they were talking about, this move that Michael Jordan used to do. He was like, it came from the league. You had to call traveling on everybody else, but if Jordan did it, you let it go.
So, like, I wonder if they do that shit now for LeBron.
I'm sure they do, because even he was like, well, the funny part is the FBI guy who was investigating, they're like, you know, they say David Stern offered me a job. He did, but I didn't feel right if I took that job. I'm like, yeah, so I don't know if he was really point shaving. I think he was just doing his job and betting on
shit. Yeah, I thought that was the thing. It was more about like working with organized crime and shit like that, you know.
he wasn't really working with organized crime. Well, he was a little bit. It was more like the guy that he was working with knew some people, and then those people worked for the fucking crime boss people.
And they tell two friends? And they tell two friends? Yeah.
I also watched, I got into the series Bad Sport, which is, again, talking about, it's kind of like Untold. It's covering, you know, the backstories of stuff.
Anything that's, any like famous people that we would know, like in that?
No, like super famous people. I mean, for me personally, the one that series, the Bad Sports series, was they were talking about the point shaving scandal at Arizona State.
Okay.
So I remember that one growing up in Arizona. So I was like, okay. So yeah, I watched that one. I rewatched The Final Dance, you know, the whole Michael Jordan stuff.
Yep.
That was great. Shit, I know there was even more. I was just on a kick watching like sports stuff for some reason.
I get that. I mean, you know, I kind of feel that way around like World Series time, where like from the playoffs is when they're finally back on regular TV. And I can't watch my favorite team, the Boston Red Sox. I can't watch them normally here unless they have that one game a year that's on ESPN. So then I get on my kick, and I might even do something like break out a DVD of like the 2007 World Series and rewatch that. And I'll absolutely love that shit.
Well, I know. You call us the next day and you're like, I fucking watched some wicked good TV.
Watched some fucking good baseball the other day with Sully and, you know, it was there.
Hit some fucking dingus.
They were hitting dingus. Four in a row.
Fucking dingus, man. He was a fucking mayor of fucking Duncan.
Yeah, I don't know. Every once in a while, I get in that. And I just love baseball so much. I just, like, get stuck in there. And I'm like, oh, did you see this? And my kids are like, what the fuck are you watching? Although they don't say that.
Oh, and speaking of sports documentary, I remember the one I did watch, too, which will probably hit home to you because he was from Connecticut, was the documentary on Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez and his murdering.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So he was from the town that I bought a house in. He was from Bristol, you know, where ESPN was. So, yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of sports guys that come out of Connecticut. You know, there was Rob Dibble in the 80s, you know, who's the other? Tiki Barber, you know, like they're always around, you know. Aaron Hernandez. Whew. What a psycho.
Those guys didn't go around shooting people for no reason.
Well, didn't he shoot someone for like speculation that he was cheating on him, his girlfriend with him or something? Like, what was the reason he actually did him in?
So Aaron Hernandez, he killed his girlfriend's sister's boyfriend.
That's what it was. Yeah. And I remember there was something about bubblegum wrappers in his trunk or some shit.
Yeah. But they don't know why he killed him. Nobody knows why. A lot of people are speculating that he caught Aaron doing some gay shit.
Ooh.
Because apparently Aaron Hernandez liked to swing both ways.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, he could have just, like, in this day and age, he could have just been like, yeah, I do that. And it would have been like, that's fine. But, I mean, this was before, was it Sam, not Sam Smith, Sam something.
Sam.
Before he was, like, the first openly gay football player, right?
Yeah.
And that was a couple years after this.
Yeah.
I'm like, who cares, dude? Like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
They're like, make the runs, make the fucking plays. That's what people care about, dude.
Because I guess Aaron Hernandez, the neighbor next door that he grew up, they used to fuck each other. Oh. And the dad was like, he's like, I remember what happened. I walked out. I was like, there's no fucking way this guy's gay and chewing paper. No. I was like, yeah. And then I had to tell my dad, like, yeah, he's gay.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he ended up, hanging himself in jail?
Yeah, because, there's speculation on that, too, because what happened, too, was after he was tried for the murder of the one guy, it actually found out he killed two other people as well. Those two guys was just because he was pissed off at him in a nightclub. He just rolled up on him and shot him.
Yeah, he was a bad dude, man.
Yeah, like, and, so I guess somebody told him about a old Boston law that if you die before your sentence is handed to you, you become not guilty by just default.
So is it true?
It was true. It was a real law. I guess they reversed it a couple of years after he killed himself. But when he did kill himself, he was found not guilty because he wasn't able to stand trial anymore because he was dead. So I guess because of him doing that at the time, his baby mama could get money.
No shit.
Pension and stuff from the NFL and everything because he was not guilty of anything because he died.
Wow.
So everyone's like, yeah, would you kill yourself to take care of your family? Fuck yeah, I would.
I mean, at that point, I mean, I don't really know what other options he has, but I mean, didn't they say he was going to go away for like hundreds of years?
Oh yeah, dude, he killed three people. So
yeah, it was like one of those things where it's like they were throwing around some like Bernie Madoff type fucking numbers.
Yeah, he killed three people and apparently shot another drug dealer in the face.
Yeah, it's like he's okay. You know, he just wears an eye patch. Yes.
Well, dude, they're just saying like Aaron Hernandez used to just fly off the fucking hinge and just do shit and like beat people up and all sorts of stuff.
He was a big dude too. Like he was not small and yep. He was muscular and athletic and all that. So it's like, yeah, he was probably a real scary guy to be around.
Oh yeah. And I guess after he died, they donated his brain to science and they did that. And they said his CTE, his brain damage from all those years of getting hit and everything. And they said it was progressed beyond anything they've ever seen at his age.
Wow. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Like they said, like Junior Seau's was really bad.
When he killed himself.
And they're like, Aaron Hernandez's was 10 times worse than Junior Seau's brain.
Yeah, that's that first one was really fucking sad about Junior Seau, you know?
Oh, dude, everybody was just like, what? Junior Seau killed himself? What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I watched that. That was an interesting one.
Well, he was part of the fucking championship team too.
Oh, yeah, well that was the thing too. Like some of the evidence that came out, the cops were even like, oh, like because they're trying to figure out for years who killed these two guys in Boston, because he killed them even before he got caught with the other murder.
Yeah,
and they were like, oh yeah, we're watching the nightclub thing and we saw him come in on the tape, and they're like, you're not thinking it's him. He just fucking won a championship. They're not thinking he's going out fucking killing people.
So. Dude, it's so funny because it's like, I don't even know. Like this guy was worse than O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and it's like, I mean, you could talk about like premeditated murder and shit like that. And it's like two versus three people and all that. That's only the three people that we know about. You know, yep. Like he could have got away with more shit, and he was like a fucking evil guy. So that must have been a really interesting one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good watch on Netflix. So I would recommend it.
Yeah, I saw they had another one that says, like, I am a killer. Like, that's a new one that's out.
Yeah, there's a new one, too, where they're interviewing people who are in prison serving life sentences. I was going to give that one a whirl at one point.
I want to get on that Only Murders in the Building, because I haven't watched it yet. And I know it's going to be...
I wrapped it up, and it was good. I mean...
I figured it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a typical Steve Martin comedy. Like, if you're going in expecting, like, The Jerk... It ain't gonna happen.
I don't expect that Steve Martin anymore. You know, it's like now you get like the indignant, you know, sort of like old guy,
yeah,
kind of, you know, and it's like maybe you saw him in that fucking movie with Alec Baldwin and Diane Keaton and all that, you know, was it Just Friends or something? I don't know, whatever it was, but like that's the guy I expect.
Yeah, you're definitely get like a Father of the Bride type
thing. Yeah, Father of the Bride's probably a good example. So,
yeah.
So I saw they remade that, and it's a series with Andy Garcia. And did you see that they announced that they're going to have Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Beverly Hills Cop now 4? And it's going to be either straight to Amazon or straight to Netflix.
And they're replacing Eddie Murphy.
No. Eddie Murphy will be in it, and he's probably going to be the main character. But you know, they're bringing in Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be like the character to go play off him.
Is Judge Reinhold going to be in it?
I'm assuming Judge Reinhold is going to be Joseph Gordon-Levitt's dad.
Okay,
that's my assumption. But keep in mind, there's no Gilbert Gottfried in this. We may see Bronson Pinchot, you know, but I don't even remember Beverly Hills Cop 3, and I saw it in the drive-in.
Are they going to bring back Serge?
That's Bronson Pinchot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, where did you get this ensemble?
Yeah. Oh. You know, I liked the third one, because basically just because of Serge and his guns.
Yeah, yeah. I keep confusing that with other movies. Is that the one where they ended up in a truck, you know, and they were like taped to the wall or something in the truck?
No.
No.
The third ones know. The third ones where they're at like
Wally World, thinking,
like the Wally World type fucking thing, but it's really
I am thinking of Rush Hour. That is what I am thinking.
Yeah, you're thinking of Rush Hour.
Yeah.
No, the Beverly Hills Cop 3 was they're printing money using the theme park.
I don't remember, dude. Like I said, I saw it so long ago. I don't even know what I saw it with, whatever was out that time. But I know I saw it in the drive-in. So
I can't remember. I think, where was Beverly Hills Cop 3 filmed? I think it might have been here in Chicago.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You know, because what looks more like, you know, L.A. than Chicago?
Well, no, I think the scenes when they're in the theme park.
Hey, man, I'm from Detroit, man.
Okay, I take it back. They filmed it at Knott's Berry Farm because it looks like Six Flags Great America here.
I haven't been there in at least 4 years, so I don't know what it looks like now, but I mean, I can only imagine.
But yeah, they filmed it at Knott's Berry Farm. Okay, makes
sense. When was the last time you went to a Six Flags?
Shit, I can't remember.
You know, I went and they were doing this new Joker ride where it, like, it's a roller coaster, but it's one of those ones where you strap in and you sit back and it does flips on you. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to see this. So, but yeah. I definitely have hit like that over 30 body where it's like I go on a roller coaster and it actually hurts me because of like G-forces and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, what do you want? I'm an old fat man.
Yeah, I avoid Six Flags. I mean, there's people getting shot there now.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago. You didn't hear that? Three people got shot outside of Six Flags.
No, I didn't. I mean, usually if we're going up there, we're going up for the Renaissance Fair, which, and I guess like this weekend is the last for it.
Yep. Labor Day weekend. After Labor Day, they close.
Yep. Yeah.
No, we're white after Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then they're moving on. They'll move on to greener pastures. So. Yeah, these guys do that shit year round. Did you know that?
What?
Like these guys that do like the Renaissance festivals and stuff like that, they do it year round. Like they're literally like a traveling band of gypsies that goes all around the country doing this shit.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm like, shit, all right. You know, it's cool. Sell your leather moccasins or like, you know, foxtails. I think
it's funny that you compare them to like a traveling band of gypsies when they literally are a traveling band of gypsies.
I know, they are. Yes. Great Odin's Raven.
Like, what are you doing? We're closed. I just go work in Medieval Times.
Yeah, that's, I don't even know if that's open again, is it?
Yeah.
You go and like eat your chicken and shit. Yeah. I love that place.
Dude, it never closed.
It must have closed.
I don't think it may have closed a little bit during COVID. Well,
all I can think of is Andy Dick going, Medieval Times!
Medieval Times! Silence of the Lambs!
Can you hear them, Clarice?
Can I have some silverware? You're in Medieval Times. They did not have silverware, so therefore you got. But they had Pepsi. Come on, man. I just work here.
That's a good Matthew Broderick there that you just did. I love the making of that, like where they were talking about how like he just started riffing and cracking, you know, Matthew Broderick up, like, and it made the movie.
Yeah. You know?
And my favorite part is the deleted scene where they're doing kind of like the Menendez brothers thing. And it's like, someone broke into my house. I think they were Asian. I think they were some Asians. Fucking Ben Stiller, man. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing I did this week. I watched, I rewatched Something About Mary.
Oh, man. I do love that movie. How did it hold up?
It's still fucking great.
Does it blow your mind that's fucking Dan Doherty from Deadwood? That is, what's his name? Wendell?
Yeah. I guess it does when you think about it.
Wow, it's so crazy.
It's another Keith David movie there from fucking Nope.
Yeah, which part is it? The Frank of the Beans.
Good Lord. Sheila, you got to come see this.
I think that was Marky Post from Night Court that played the mom.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, she passed, you know, I know that, but earlier last year, I think. But yeah, man, that I have that soundtrack. And I love that guy and the guitar. He's like, his friends would say, stop whining. His friends would say, stop pining. You know, that was some classic shit.
Dude, that movie still holds up. Like at the end, the old guy, what are you doing? He's trying to steal my girl.
And then Brett Favre shows up. Hello, Mary. You know I'll always be true. I'm like, fucking, that's Brett.
You'd be more happy with Brett Favre.
Favre. Yeah.
Chris Elliott. Hey, how about I get a little signature?
Really? Charles Woganowski? It's not that far a jump there, fucking Brad. Yeah, it's like.
Mary, I was worried about you. I got love blisters.
That's what they called him, remember?
And I got a pimple on my eyeball.
And then Ernie.
Oh, fucking dude. All the characters in that movie are great.
Yeah.
Santiago Chile, man, who's been three times in 1 year. Norm the pizza boy.
He's actually British, too. Like, that was his real voice. He wasn't doing, like, he does an American accent.
Yeah. And I fucking love, dude, Matt Dillon in that fucking movie is fantastic.
What was the last Fairley Brothers movie? Was it Stuck on You?
Yeah, I think it was Stuck on You.
What happened? You know, they were doing so well. Or maybe Me, Myself, and Irene was the last one.
Let's see.
It's one of the others, but yeah, I'm just surprised. Yeah, they're another... a bunch that it's like between like Kingpin, Me, Myself, and Irene, you know, Something About Mary, that like these movies were great.
Oh dude, they're in the world of comedies, they're like some of the best.
I would watch like an entire marathon of Fairley Brothers movies.
So their last one, okay, maybe they didn't, some of them didn't come out too hot. They did Dumb and Dumber 2 in 2014.
Okay.
They actually did.
But they did the first Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Yep, which was great.
Movie 43.
Ah, shit.
Yep. They did The Three Stooges in 2012.
Not unwatchable.
They did Hall Pass.
Oh, I liked Hall Pass.
The Heartbreak Kid.
That was not great.
The Ringer.
The Ringer was funny as shit.
Fever Pitch.
Loved Fever Pitch.
Stuck on You.
Yep. Oh, so Stuck on You was before Fever Pitch. Okay, of course.
Shallow Hal.
Yep. Love Shallow Hal.
Osmosis Jones.
I like that movie. I don't think that's a Justin movie, but for me, I liked it a lot.
Osmosis Jones, it's all right. Say It Isn't So.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's not a good one, but it's interesting.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah, Say It Isn't So is like a direct-to-DVD sort of quality film.
Yeah, Outside
Richard Providence. Jenkins is in it. Oh, man, I think about that movie all the time.
There's Something About Mary, Kingpin, and then Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber was their first movie.
Okay, yeah. Outside Providence is actually a really good one. I'd say that's like a cult movie, but what do you think is their best? Because I'm gonna go Kingpin all day. And that's even over Dumb and Dumber. I'm gonna go Kingpin.
Yeah, I think I gotta go Kingpin. And honestly, I think There's Something About Mary ranks better than Dumb and Dumber.
I'm with you. I am with you because I think at one point that was like the funniest movie ever made, you know, until Kingpin came out.
About Mary, it's almost as good as Kingpin.
Yeah, it's close, dude. It is very close.
Because, I mean, they had some great scenes in Something About Mary, like the fucking, you know, 7-minute abs.
Yeah, seven. I say that a lot. So
I do say that. You don't get a good enough workout, we'll send you the extra
six. Man. Seven dwarves. You don't get a workout in 6 minutes. Come on. And Crisp from Kindergarten Cop is in the movie. They think he's the killer, right? He's the cop.
Little chipmunk sitting on a branch eating lots of sunflowers on a branch. I mean, dude, there's just so many great lines in that movie. Like,
make us sick.
Where you go? I'm moving to Miami. For what? I took a job with Rice-A-Roni. Isn't that the San Francisco treat?
Oh man, yeah, and I mean, I'm sure some of the stuff doesn't age well, like specifically the "Have you seen my baseball" and stuff like that.
But dude, actually, that shit to me still ages just as good.
I love how he just relentlessly beats the shit out of him because he touched his ear. Yeah. Look what I got! Ah! Oh man, yeah,
they got this one kid, Mongo. They keep him in a cage. That's what I said. So I got him a leash. He can just run back and forth. I love that little retard.
Oh, oh yeah. Isn't with the fucking, with the glowing teeth.
Yeah. I want to call him a retard. They can't tell me who I can't hang out with.
Dude, I got to watch that again.
Like, dude, trust me, when you watch it, you're going to go, how did I fucking not watch, how do I not watch this movie more?
Yeah, it's like Kingpin is an annual watch for me. Like, oh, yeah. It has to be. Like, and it's one of those things, like, it Shawshanks you. Like, if it's on, and then you're like, oh, Kingpin, huh? It's never not a good time to watch Kingpin. Never.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that good of a movie where it's like, you could just watch parts of it and be like, yeah, I'm good. We don't have a cow, we have a bull. Yep.
That's what I said. Like when you rewatch something about Mary, you're like, shit, dude. Like, how do I not like watch this as much as I do Kingpin?
I get it.
I mean, dude, there's just,
it is a great soundtrack too. I have the soundtrack for that one, and I have the soundtrack for Kingpin. They're both really freaking good.
Like, there's just so many great lines. Like, I thought you said she was a fire or a real spark plug. No, I said butt plug.
Oh man. Yeah. And a lot of actors in that, I think like Sarah Silverman was in it.
Yep, she is.
Yeah. And like some people that it's like, oh yeah, like they did get pretty big. Like Willie, what's his face that just passed. He was in it. I forget it. The guy that plays the thief in Kingpin. Ah, you burned my retina.
Yeah. Actually, he's in it. And then there's a girl, I think she ended up on CSI Las Vegas or something, one of those ones.
I'll take your word on that one. I don't know, but
yeah, but I'll just say when you see some of the actors in it, you're like, oh, they went on to do some stuff.
What's her name from The Conjuring? You know, plays Magda.
Yeah. Well, she also. Oh wait, no, she's not the same one that played the landlord in.
Yeah, she so is. Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Roy. What is it about good sex that really makes you have to crap? Oh, it's not that bad, you big baby. Roy, I brought you some booze because I know you like to drink. Oh, man. All these, like, I could probably quote that whole fucking movie, Kingpin, you know?
Is that hair gel?
What? You're going out with a loaded gun, man. You don't drain the lizard. And he's just sitting there like a total straight man. He's like, what? Yeah. that's a good one. Yeah, you win. You win this week because that fucking nailed it right there. So
yeah, watch that. I finished, got it. Well, I'm not finished, but caught up on What We Do in the Shadows again. Oh, I started watching Welcome to Wexhale, the Ryan Reynolds and Rob, what the fuck is his name? Their new show on FX about them buying the soccer team.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff on it. I don't know that it looks like something I'm truly interested in, because I feel like I would probably compare it to Ted Lasso.
You think about Ted, but dude, cause just because it's Ryan Reynolds and the stupid shit he says, but well, it's more Rob Montgomery or whatever.
Okay.
It's more of his stuff. You can tell Ryan Reynolds is just kind of like diversifying his portfolio holdings.
Oh, okay.
Into it.
Getting on TV and stuff, and
yeah, but it seems like it's more Rob's dream to own it.
Okay, so it's It's definitely a comedy, and it's not a documentary, right?
Well, it's a documentary. They really did buy the team.
Oh, so this is actually not a show. It's real life.
Yeah, it's actually the cameras following them actually buying the team.
Wow. Okay.
And it's they bought a shitty team, but they bought a team.
Okay.
And the funny thing is like the show starts and like we've actually never met. Rob slid into my DMs and asked me if I wanted to buy a soccer team.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. So.
But, wow. And,
it's a good show. I would say give it a watch.
Maybe I'll check it out.
I mean, it's definitely interesting to see. I'm learning a lot about Premier Soccer League.
Oh, they are in the Premier League?
They're not in the Premier League. They're trying to get back to the Premier League.
Were they regulated then?
They regulated all the way to the bottom.
Okay, yeah. So I know that from Ted Lasso. So
yeah, their past were like Ted Lasso's team.
Wow.
Because there's a giant pyramid of different leagues. There's like umpteen different soccer leagues.
All I know is Manchester United.
Yeah, they're part of the Premier.
Yeah.
But yeah, the team that they bought used to be really good, and now they're at the very bottom, and they haven't been able to win in like 14 years.
14 years, okay.
Yeah. So it's about them rebuilding the team and trying to get it out of the basement.
So now that I know, oh, I don't know what happened there, but now that I know that it's reality and it's not like a comedy scripted, something like that, I might actually watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a Ted Lasso show. It's just documenting them actually buying the team.
Well, there you go.
Like it shows them, like, you know, Rob sitting up at like 3 a.m. trying to watch soccer here, you know.
Oh, okay.
Time difference and everything and all that. But yeah, I'm trying to think, is there anything else I watched? Oh, and I started watching Mike Tyson's show on Hulu.
I have no interest in watching that. Is it any decent?
It's decent, actually. I like the show. The guy they got to play Mike Tyson, I think they could have done a little better job on his makeup. Because there's some scenes where like you look nothing like Mike Tyson.
I told Hulu specifically thumbs down on that, and I was not interested in it. I saw the whole thing where it's like Tyson said that he had no part of this, and they're basically stealing his story, and he doesn't get shit from it. Yeah. And like they even got like Dana White in, and Dana White's like, yeah, no problem, Mike. I want nothing to do with this one either. So I'm not going to even watch it.
Yeah, I mean, if the
I don't blame you for watching it. I'm just saying it's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if Mike Tyson asked me if I watched it, I'm going to say no, but...
I just don't want to take that chance. You'd be like, did you watch this show, Mike? No, sir. Okay, good boy. Good boy.
No, I did not, sir. Please don't hurt me.
Yeah.
I know you're like 60, but you'll still kill me with one punch.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that thinks like a regular person getting punched by Mike Tyson is not a big deal is a fool.
Yeah. Well, dude, just like recently that dude on the plane that was picking the fight with him, like, really, dude, like, you had to be so drunk to be like, I'm going to pick a fight with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, like, he should be treasured. He should not be, like fought with like that. Like, you should but definitely, like, count your blessings, you know?
Well, my thing is, like, how one judge in the right world would be like, you started a fight with Mike Tyson? Did you realize what you were getting yourself into?
I feel like you're forgetting the South. No, it's
like... Seriously, like, what judge is going to be like, oh, yeah, Mike Tyson's fault there? I'd be like, you picked a fight with him? You started a fight with Mike Tyson? You deserve to get punched.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's no joke.
Like, select, you know, that's natural selection if you die, sir. Sorry. You're an idiot. You deserve to die.
Sometimes they die. Sounds like a good idea. Well, the ground's bad.
I'm just going to write a movie called Natural Selection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just hope you get some of the Jackass guys in it.
Well, it's just about a movie where a hole opens up in the ground and people jump in it.
Oh, so it's kind of like Nope, but the hole's on the ground. Wait, actually, did you think Nope was like Tremors, but in the sky?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Nope was like a lot of things just in the sky.
Yeah, that's fair. It was like Kingpin in the sky.
It was so, like something about Mary in this guy.
Okay, this is our Matt part. So Matt will appreciate
it. It was like Prey, but in the sky.
In the sky.
And did you think that the alien looked like a giant butthole that floated?
Do you think it looked like a dick, or did it?
No, it totally looked like a butthole that opened up into a vagina.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's how I read it.
Like, that's what it totally looked like. It looked like a butthole, and you're like, oh, nope, it's not a butthole, it's a vagina.
And so really it's just about like she said nope. So yeah, he wrote a whole thing about that, like about like how someone told him nope, that he couldn't do that thing. And he's like, oh yeah, I gotta write a movie about you. And it's just about like being denied the butthole.
Actually, thinking about it, the movie is about a giant flying vagina.
That's fair.
Because you gotta think about the house scene. What does it do? Bleeds all over the fucking house.
Okay, I'll allow it. Yeah. It's oh God! On that note, I think we'll end the conversation here because I'm starting to get some weird beeps on my computer.
It doesn't like when foreign objects are shoved inside its hole.
Nope, definitely those flags or beads or whatever. You know, it doesn't like them.
See, it's just about a flying vagina.
Oh my God!
The movie's about a flying vagina.
Well, on that note, thank you for listening to us on this 121st episode.
Here's your 30-second review of Nope. It's a flying vagina.
Yep, that's it. That's a good cold open right there. Nope is about a flying vagina. So, check us out at Geek Life HQ on Twitter, on Instagram. Check out our Facebook page, Geek Life HQ. And thanks for listening, everybody, if you made it this far. Too. Yeah, it's literally just a page of fans. Like, you know,
we got some Lasco fans, and we're at the Flying Vagina on OnlyFans.
Yeah, and Flying Butthole Alien at superchimp.ape.
Yeah. That vagina hasn't moved in hours.
Yeah, that's about right. That's Magda from the from Something About Mary.
It's going to write their sequel. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be called Yep.
Yep.
It's going to be called All Right. And then it's going to have Matthew McConaughey just like looking, you know, because he'd always get to say it like two more times.
That cloud gets every day. That cloud doesn't move. And I stay the same way.
Yeah,
I
stay the same place. Oh, man. That's great.
Oh, all right.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Are you a fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic books? Then Epic Tales from the Sewers is a podcast for you. We cover the comic books, video games, movies, cartoons, and anything else turtle related. We talk about the toys, we talk about the cereal, we talk about all the fun things about turtles that we love so much. So give a listen. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. Check out Epic Tales from the Sewers, part of the Epic Airways podcast network. Give a listen, dudes. Cowabunga is this podcast for you.